A gaggle of gays gagging on gossip, love, sex advice, and your questions. Produced and recorded in New York City, this is Ask the Boys.
All right, Anthony, how you doing? Good morning, good evening, good whatever the fuck.
Oh, hello, hello. Good day to you. I'm well. How are you, darling?
I'm good. So this is probably, I would say, our most jerry-rigged episode to date. Would you not agree?
I think, I'm surprised that we are on. I'm glad because we had to really jerry-rig this to make it happen. But I kind of love it. It makes me feel very, very MacGyver-y.
Yeah, it's very MacGyvery. So the issue that Anthony and I are currently experiencing is our podcast recording TriCasting service is currently having issues, and Jordan is in the other bedroom, passed out right now, so he's not joining us. It is currently 11:30 for me time, 12:30 Anthony time, and we have two headphones in. One headphone has an audio phone call, like an old school phone call. The other headphone, we're recording our microphones on our own personal computers, and then we're going to somehow sync the fucking audio files. It's jerry-rigged.
We're gonna pray that they synchronize with each other. If not, you guys are in for one hell of a show.
Yeah, I probably said a joke, and Anthony, 30 minutes later, is just going to start laughing at it.
We're gonna be in a dark topic, and I'm just gonna break out in laughter.
Exactly. So a lot has definitely happened this week. Would you not agree?
Yeah, a lot has happened this week. It has been a long, and I think it's always one of the more difficult weeks. But it's been a long week. It's been a big week.
Oh, absolutely. And I know one thing you wanted to bring to the table was Serena Williams.
Ooh, Serena Williams, she is coming through for that championship, but I am kind of, pressed at how they do my girl sometimes. Well, how they do my girl often.
Yeah, this week has been a difficult time for the women of America.
Yeah.
I know Serena Williams was having issues where a umpire called a foul or signaling on one of her plays. Turns out it wasn't signaling. She got angry, started, complaining to the ref, and he cost her a point. And that point cost her the game.
The game, yep.
And it was this, oh, it was so bad. It was so bad.
It was so upsetting.
Right. It was. And you really feel for her, too, because you can see the passion in her eyes. And mm-hmm. I was thinking, what would I do if I was in that situation? And she was angry, not for the foul, but for what the guy said afterwards, which is essentially calling her a cheater. And she said, I would rather lose than cheat to win.
Amen. Amen. And, I back her up for that because, well, I understand, you're in a game, and I know that that's, the ref, you shouldn't get so heated. At the same time, you should understand you're in a game, and it's competitive, and it's a competition. And you're going to be calling out moves. Of course, these athletes are going to get heated and upset, especially when they know that you're in the wrong. She knew that it wasn't a damn foul. Of course she's going to complain. It just, the whole thing is absurd. You're dealing with as you mentioned, there's passion in her eyes. When you're dealing with athletes or anyone playing any sport, you're dealing with very, very passionate people. They're going to be passionate in how they react to everything about what's happening.
Exactly. So that was Serena Williams' difficult week. Cardi B and Nicki Minaj also had a very interesting week. Would you not agree?
Oh, my goodness. They had one hell of a week as well. Cardi B and Nicki Minaj. So, I don't know who's all into, the hip-hop R&B world, but I love hip-hop and R&B and rap and all that. And it's been pretty crazy lately because it's been well known that Nicki Minaj and Cardi B have, this little beef because Nicki Minaj doesn't really care for her. My opinion, a lot of people, pretty much facts, is Nicki Minaj is upset because, here comes Cardi B, who's new in the game, and right off the bat, her album is a number one hit, and Nicki hasn't really had that, right? But Cardi B didn't have to do, she made it from scratch. She didn't she did link up with certain people, but she struggled to get to where she is. And it's not just talk. It's she talks
100%.
And she lives it. And I think that Nikki is kind of scared of losing her place. But I feel like if she played it cool, it would be better. Now, I will say this fight. Have you heard about this fight, the physical altercation?
So I heard a little bit about it. It was at the, New York Fashion Week,
yes,
right?
Yes, it was. New York Fashion Week, uh-huh.
Right.
And what happened?
If you're anybody, you're at New York Fashion Week.
I mean, darling, come on. I was there twice.
We'll be there next year.
Mm, honey. Or the Ask the Boys VIP press pass. Oh. But at the fashion show, Cardi B was walking and Nicki Minaj had already arrived. And I guess Nicki Minaj and one of her friends started essentially talking shit about Cardi B's baby. Like, at first they were talking shit about Cardi B, and Cardi B didn't really care. But then they started talking shit about Cardi B's baby. And that was it. It was like, all right, pretty much the way I see it is, all right, Cardi B came up and she's lived that life. She struggled to get to where she is. Nicki Minaj comes up here, and I love Nicki Minaj, don't get me wrong, but she raps about it. She ain't about that life. Cardi B's about that life. She's lived that life. So when she came up to scrap. And she literally came up fist flailing, ready to beat the shit out of Nicki. Now, she got, of course...
You know, it's interesting to see because you have a girl from Queens versus a girl from the Bronx. And you know what? The girls from Queens are a lot different than the girls from the fucking Bronx.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Nicki got reminded of that.
Yep. Because, honey, if you're feeling... In the Bronx, if you're feeling froggy, you leap in. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That shit was... I just thought it was very intense. And I feel like a lot of people... I know that Cardi's getting some bad press for this because I know she got physical, but don't offend my family. And Nicki's always going to get bad press. Honestly, even if she did the right thing, she would get bad press because that's what it is to be on top. But I thought it was wow. Like, I was wowed that they got into a physical altercation at a fashion show, like in such a public area at an event in their beautiful ass clothes. And Cardi B left with a knot on her face because one of the security guards punched her.
I saw that, but I will say this. I don't know what kind of product she uses to do her makeup, but that shit wasn't even smudged. She got KO'd to the face. I'm talking Mortal Kombat style fatality, elbow, knee combo, XY, triangle, circle, cheat code style punch to the fucking skull, and her eyebrow was perfect. Even better than these freehand bitches that are out here on the streets that don't even get punched in the face.
This. Yo, I'm sorry. I fucking love that you said that because that is so true. I need the name too. Because she looked at how she walked in when she was walking out, just with a little knot on her head. No, like you mentioned, no smudge whatsoever on that brow or eye makeup. Honey.
Yeah, that needs to be like sponsored. Like a Nike Just Do It type of sponsor. Her fucking knot. That was a shoe throw seen and heard around the world. Not even George Bush, when he had a shoe thrown at him, was as eloquent and elegant as this was between Nicki and Cardi.
Hey, fucking man. Oh, that was actually perfectly put. Did you see her little comeback on Instagram? She wrote a whole... I said she was a book to Nicki, but she really came at her. And I love how Nicki fucking blocked her on all the social medias. It's just getting childish.
Are you serious?
Oh yeah, of course. Cardi B posted something. She won't block you because you know she's an adult. And Nicki Minaj is like, oh no, she's blocking her on everything, and even deleted this post of like congratulating her the one time. I'm like, oh honey, but it's the internet, Nicki. I love you,
God.
But Nicki, it's the internet. It's never going away ever.
And it's a New York Fashion Week. Okay, everybody has cameras on them, so I'm sure that shoe being thrown was like the Matrix. You could get a 360 slow-mo fucking video. It's like bullet time, but for like stilettos.
Oh my God, yes. Or I did see her, Cardi's dress came off a little bit too. Security was trying to cover her butt. It was actually really funny. If I were there, I would have been extremely hype. I would have been all over it.
I would have screamed world star. If I was there, 100%. I would have champagne and some fucking caviar shit, because I feel like all fancy people eat caviar. I would have my mouth full screaming world star. I mean, I'm talking fish eggs flying out of my mouth as I scream world star.
Oh my God, yes. World star! All the food everywhere, fuck it, as you're guzzling the champagne. And who's gonna tell you a damn thing? It's New York Fashion Week, bitch.
Exactly.
Oh, man. No, yeah, but that was extremely, I found that extremely interesting and wild. And I think it I also found it kind of great. I know this is horrible because they were fighting, but that truly shows, hey, no, even though the celebrities are just people too, don't fuck with them.
Yeah. And you know, like they can have bad days, you know, like, and clearly you don't want to come for, again, I will say it again. You don't want to come for a bitch from the Bronx.
No, honey.
It's not going to end well.
In the BX, we don't play.
Exactly. Mm. So what did you do interesting this week? I know we didn't talk about our weeks yet. Anything fun, crazy, anything like that?
worked a lot. No, I've actually had a very interesting week. I had, obviously, my normal dues, but I kind of pushed laundry for a while. So I had like a 58-pound bag of laundry that I had to do this weekend.
That God.
Really, it was horrible. It was a nightmare. But I got it done, so I felt very, 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 very productive. I'm kind of continuing my rebranding. I know I mentioned a little bit before, like with the shrinking of my Instagram. But something that I did that was a little new and different was just yesterday. I guess depending on when you're listening to this. So it was actually on September 11th. And, you know, that's another one of those things that happened this week that's a big moment that, you know, I'm sure, well, I know for a fact that even though you're not here, you definitely feel and understand the feeling here.
It was hard, you know, like people were asking me here in Memphis where I work and, you know, I say World Trade Center and there's just like this pause, you know, and it's like, yeah, I said World Trade Center on September 11th.
Yep. Yep. And, you know, it's a hard day to work that day. Yesterday what I did after work, and I had not done this before, and I felt very happy because, you know, a few friends, really great friends kind of got me in there. I went at night on September 11th to the memorial and like to the pools and like to the museum and like walked through, like I went through everything on that day with the lights in the sky, you know, the two pillars of light. And it was just, it was hard. I'm not going to lie. On that night, like I walk through there all the time, but like on that night, it feels, the atmosphere is different. And, but it was necessary, I think. And it was beautiful. And I think it really kind of sinks in the message that we are a strong people. And we unify when we need to.
And New York is strong, man.
And the whole time I was there, like even through like the parts where I was sad, like I thought of that, like New York, and I thought of our unity, and like I started thinking, like, who cares? Like Trump's president, whatever, fuck it. He doesn't have that much longer. Like, we're not gonna let him break us. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if we've gone through this shit, like nothing's, what's gonna come that's gonna really break us apart? We're really at the end gonna stick together.
Right.
I don't know. It was a lot.
Down here in Memphis, I visited Elvis's house. I went to Graceland and got to see that.
Yeah,
I will say this, and not a mansion. I was expecting like this lavishing, like 75,000 acre premises, like a prison, like Alcatraz, but country music style Alcatraz. It literally is the size of like a large house. Something that I think like today's day and age, like middle to middle upper class people would own. Like it wasn't a massive house. It's a lot of land, but not really a massive house. I know. I was a little bit like taken aback. Very, very 60s and 70s in there. I mean, obviously it hasn't been touched since he died.
Yeah.
But they will not let you go upstairs and see his bedroom or the bathroom where he died in. That's completely off limits.
Oh, wow.
So I was kind of bummed. I kind of wanted to, because up there they said not even a bottle or a comb has been moved since the day he died, and it's locked. The only people that are allowed up there are his immediate family, and that's it. And I think Tom Hanks went up there, I think. I don't know. So it was very, very random. I did that, and then I think what touched me the most was I went to the Civil Rights Museum. And that's, of course, at the hotel site where Martin Luther King died, where he was murdered.
Oh.
And they still have the hotel. identical to how it was. You can see his room identical to how it was. It's behind glass, but you can see it.
Wow.
And it was an emotional experience for me, because it talks about civil rights with a focus on minority rights. And it talks heavily about Black rights. And I'm so glad that they've been keeping up to date with it, because mm-hmm. they have Black Lives Matter included in that. A lot of gay rights and gay rights groups are included in that. Women's rights are included in there. Immigrants' rights are now being included in there. So I really enjoy how it comes full circle. But there was a huge focus on Black rights. And what was great was you literally would do the march to Selma through this resort, or through this museum. They would have like rain sound effects playing, and it would sound like feet walking on, gravel. And you would walk down these halls, and they had all these facts of all these mile markers of where they stopped to rest. And they had pictures of all these mile markers. And it was, I'll be honest, I almost cried at least 24 times. At least I was fighting tears so many times, because you see these stories and you hear these recordings of people that lived through Jim Crow. And, you know, people don't really understand this, but segregated schools, that ended in like 1960 something.
Yeah.
Or even 70 something, somewhere in there. That's not that far away.
That was recent.
I mean, there are people, right? There are people still alive that remember this shit. So it really puts it into a full circle. Like, hey, when people say stupid shit like get over racism or it's time to move on, it's like, bitch, that was like yesterday. That's not that long ago.
Yeah. It's such.
Yeah.
So fucking true.
But it was, I think what was so emotional for me, because, I mean, obviously I am white, I am not Black, but what was so emotional for me is as I'm looking at these historical images, and I love looking at old school pictures, there were a lot of Black faces in these crowds, but occasionally you will see a white face marching alongside them. And oh my God, Anthony, did I just identify with that. I said, it must be terrifying for these people, Black people alone marching. Yeah. But for these white people to say, I'm not part of this society, I am marching with my Black brothers and sisters, like, that is what got me so emotional.
Oh my God. Exactly. Yeah. And you're such a strong, advocate and supporter of just all fairness all around. So I can imagine that must have been such a moment for you. That's such a good, such a beautiful thing.
It was. And you know what? I really wish everyone could go and visit it if possible, because it's so good.
Mm-hmm. I'd want to go visit. You were telling me this and I'm like, oh my God, this actually sounds really fun and interesting. And I'd love to see these sites.
It was good. And it was tastefully done too. They asked for feedback at the end and I gave them specific feedback. I was like, I really appreciate how they have the museum laid out, because it's two separate buildings. The main museum is actually built up against and into the hotel where he died. So you can kind of get that whole journey. But what they did is to teach people about Martin Luther King's murder and the case and the killer. They put it in the building that the killer actually shot him from, which is across the street. So I'm really glad that they took this tasteful approach and said, hey, this museum building, this is the message. This is the theme. This is what we want. If you want to take it upon yourself, just like the 9/11 memorial, if you want to take it upon yourself to see the deeper, raw, emotional side, go across the street into this building. It's included in your admission. You can see like the bathroom where the shooter, shot Martin Luther King. You can look out that window. They have all the evidence over there, all the case. And I went to school for criminal justice and criminology. So like, that kind of stuff interests me. Mm-hmm. But I told them, I said, that was so tasteful on how you broke up those two separate stories, because you didn't want to subtract from what MLK was trying to say.
You kept the message. They kept mm-hmm. the message clear. Oh, I love that. That's so good. I'm glad that you got to experience that. We need that. We need to, as a people, to be more cultured.
Especially in 2018, need a refresher in 2018.
Oh my gosh, yeah. It's almost like the entire world needs a fresh pair of eyes. Goodness.
Yeah. All right, so let's move on to the first topic, since we talked about, Tonight in Tea, Serena Williams, Cardi B, Nicki Minaj. I wanted to look at Chappie. Now, Chappie is a competitor to Grindr and Jacked and Boy Ahoy and Adam from Adam and Scruff and Recon, and there's so many fucking apps out there for gay men. They're real, it's a fucking epidemic. But we're gonna need a shot. It's an epidemic. But what makes Chappie very unique is it's got the experience, or the user experience that draws people in with Grindr, which is the hookup culture, getting to meet people close to your vicinity, and then the little bit of the classy touch that Tinder brings to the table, which is being able to swipe left if you don't like someone, swipe right if you find them attractive, swipe up if you think they're hot as fuck.
True.
They were just rebranded this week.
They rebranded?
They were rebranded. Did you? I haven't
really opened any app this week. Not so much going on, but I didn't notice. I didn't get to see that they rebranded. What's it like now?
So, for those that don't know, Chappie's headquarters is actually in New York City. It's in Manhattan, and Anthony and I know a couple people that play brand ambassador to Chappie. So, you know, just a little. I don't know if we have to broadcast that, but you know, like a little sidebar. We kind of know some people in the Chappie circle. But what it looks like now, so they lost their head, I think, of their marketing team, and somebody else just came in, so they completely redid the UI. So right now, Chappie has a little bit of a cream/peach color to it from the application to the user interface. They also changed what I thought was kind of interesting, was you know how it used to say looking for Mr. Right? Mm-hmm. If you want to find, you know, like a date, or Mr. Right Now, if you want to find a hookup.
Yeah.
So they changed it a little bit different. It's now looking for something cute. And in parentheses, they have find something sweet that might go the distance. Oh. Or looking for something sexy, which is find something bold and adventurous. Can be short term, but always memorable. And then if you're unsure, you can just keep the toggle in the middle, which is looking for something cute and sexy. If you don't know what you're looking for, stay here to see guys from both sides. Oh. So they kind of changed. Yeah, because I think Mr. Right and Mr. Right Now, me personally, I thought that was a cute little play on words.
Yeah, I loved that.
But it was a mouthful.
Oh,
I love a good mouthful, too.
Mm. I love a mouthful and then some.
Yes, absolutely. But what I think is so interesting and what I wanted to talk about on tonight's show is BearWorldMagazine.com is reporting that Chappie said, and I quote, at its heart, Chappie is engineered to empower gay men to form positive, healthy relationships based in kindness and mutual respect. And that's something I'm extremely passionate about. Collaborating with tech titans like Andre and Whitney is an incredible opportunity. I'm honored to be a part of what's inspiring the next chapter of this brand. So that, of course, was, and I'm going to butcher the fuck out of this name. What is it? Let me try to, hang on, let me find it here. I can't find it in the article, so it's just Mr. Dumas. But what is so interesting about this is Chappie is now trying to take a hardcore stance on what people have been referring to as sexual racism.
Oh.
You know the classics.
Like,
and you've seen them all the time on Grindr. Like, oh, Asians. Have you run into this personally?
No anything. Well, yeah, I've actually, I've had a few, especially when I was heavier, that like no fats, no femmes. I've had some people that I like because, you know, I like all tones and colors, so I don't care. They're like, oh, you know, I'm sorry, I don't like brown people. I was like, oh, okay, that was not what I expected you to say, but all right. So yeah, no, I've had some very interesting negative times on those social networks.
Yeah, and what I think is interesting, and the reason I brought this up is because a LGBTQ Facebook page that I follow posted this, and I saw a lot of raw emotional comments surrounding this. A lot of people, I mean, I'm going to say it, notably white in the comment section, you know, we're defending the whole it's not racism, it's a preference type thing. A lot of subcategory minorities, of non-white European descent were saying, no, like, this is racism. And I think this is very important to touch on. And I know if we touch on this in the past, there is a fundamental difference between preference and being blatantly racist. So preference is saying, I prefer to date men of color, but I am not opposed to dating everyone. And I'll be honest, and Anthony, you know me like the back of your taint.
And I lick that.
Yes, you do. I primarily am an interracial dater. I date men of color. Mm-hmm. But I have, in the past, dated and gone, you know, all the way to fuck town with other white men. I have found Asian men attractive. Like, there is no hard line in the sand. And there shouldn't be a hard line in the sand.
I agree. I love that what you said. There shouldn't be that hard line in the sand. It should be like you said. If it's going to be a preference, then you'd prefer. But you don't include everyone else. All right, it's just so absurd. But go ahead. Because what you're saying is absolutely right. It drives me crazy.
But when you go from preference and then it transitions into racist remarks, you are saying, I refuse to date a person based on this racial characteristic. Before you even get to know the person, before anything like that, you say, I refuse based on this racial characteristic. That's racism. That is no longer preference.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think people need to fully understand in 2018. It is one thing to have a preference, but still give everyone the time of day and draw that hard line in the sand. And that's actually what Chappie is trying to do. They're trying to eliminate that from everything. So apparently they have smart algorithms that are searching for common racist terms and actually removing those profiles. They're doing a lot of monitoring to make sure that what's being said in chats and everything are still acceptable. And I know, like, Chappie's really setting the bar here, because Grindr is the wild, wild west of the gay community. It really is.
Yeah. I love how you said that. Yes, it is. It is the Wild Wild West. Woo! Sorry. Oh, my God.
Bless you.
Thank you. Woo, she's awake. I'm sorry. I just love how you put that. That was so good. Go ahead. It's so wild. Yo, you're amazing.
Now, another thing that I want to kind of mention, too, and I was having this discussion earlier last week, is cheating. And is there a line? So I have a friend who enjoys pornography. He will go on Craigslist and message people and exchange, like, very heated emails. He'll go on Snapchat. He'll send nudes. He'll, like, meet people online, get their Snapchats, and exchange nudes in a relationship. And we were having this discussion, and he said, you know, sometimes I feel guilty because I feel like I'm cheating. I don't think it's cheating, but I would love to hear your thoughts on this first.
Wow. That's deep. I like this because I think it's open to a lot of things. I don't think it's cheating in the sense that you're not cheating on your partner right now. But I think that it can get to a level where you're flirting with someone and then you can get, like, emotionally attached to them. And then you're cheating emotionally, which sometimes can be worse than cheating physically. But if every single time it's just a random one-off fling thing, I mean, no, you're not really cheating. Because, like, if you receive a nude, I mean, even if you send the nude, really, because really, what's a nude? What's the naked body? It's really not that bad. It's just like watching pornography. You're not cheating when you watch porn.
That's all it is.
Yeah, you're just seeing someone else and they're in their nudity and thinking it's hot and, you know, getting off to it. But you do that again when you masturbate. So it doesn't really, I don't think there's much of a difference between those two. It's when you start letting feelings get involved. And this is whether you're physically having sex or not with another person. When you start letting feelings get involved, especially even when you're messaging, that's then considered cheating because now you're no longer mentally thinking of your partner. And not in a sense like, okay, like sexually, like I'm going to jerk off to this, but like you're having full conversation and like spouse conversations with this other person.
Right. Like it to me, I agree with you on that statement. You said interactive pornography. I think that's exactly what it is. It's all about the intent behind it. So is your intent to find something that's not the usual, that's a little bit strange, that risk of, oh, they're typing or they're telling me they're sending me something. What could it be? What I always call it the mystery dick feeling, where it's like when you're looking at a porn or you're looking at a guy and you see the dick bulge. And I mean, ladies and gentlemen of the jury of the worldwide organization of judgment, Anthony and I are like, I'm 29, Anthony is 5. Okay, I'm not going to say his age. But we have seen our fair share of dicks. Yes, we have seen our fair share of dicks. You know what it looks like, okay? It's not going to look like a fucking party balloon, but there's that excitement of, oh my God, I want to see what this guy's dick looks like.
Yeah, yes.
You know, like, what is that variation of the standard-looking dick? What is the length? What is the girth? So, you know, that excitement, that mystery dick excitement, is what draws a lot of people to Grindr and Snapchat and stuff like that. So for that alone, I don't see that as cheating. I cannot classify that as cheating because it serves one purpose, and that is to get a nut
and that's and it.
Deliver it into the world.
And that's it. And deliver exactly. And I mean, I love that and I agree. And I like what you say because it's just that. It's being tantalizing. And being tantalized. I mean, you have this thing. It's like a secret. It's like a present. You always want to know what your fucking present is. Even when you know what's under the tree, you want to open that fucking present. You want to peek inside. You want to know what's in there for a fact. Like, I love how you reference that package, that you know, that mystery dick feeling. It's so good. It's such a good feeling.
It is such a good feeling. Sometimes the feeling, you're just like, oh, where's the receipt for this gift? But other times you're just like, you know what? I'm tearing into this fucking package.
Oh, yes. And I'm not going to leave anything for anyone else.
Absolutely not. But yeah, I thought that was...
I agree. I like that. That was a very good call out. And no, I don't necessarily think that in this situation it's cheating.
Now, what about camming? Could you deal with your man doing a live cam?
If he's bringing in the money, but I am a choppy, so. Look, oh my God, let me stop. I'm not. No, like really, if you're camming and that's bringing in money, that's fine. Because to me, and this goes again back to going to porn and interactive porn, would I date a porn star? Yeah. And guess what? I know that my porn star person, like, you know, lover, boyfriend, husband, depending on how far we go, I know that they're going to go fuck other people. Like, that's their job.
Right.
Like, that's so, like...
That's their job.
Yeah. If you're camming and you're, like, making money, like, oh, whatever, I don't care. What the fuck you're doing and you're paying your bills, that's fine. Take me out to dinner, bitch.
Now, let me throw in a wrench.
Uh-huh.
Would you do it with them?
Oh my God, couples cam? Yes, I'm here for it because they get very popular. And I'd be like, if they're down.
Double the dick, double the coinage.
Oh, honey, you know? And we charge, we go into overtime. And I love when we go OT.
Because I thought about this. I said, you know what? Like, would I be angry if my boyfriend was caught looking at porn or messaging somebody on, you know, Grindr or Chappie or camming? And I said, you know what? Like, I think I am a subliminal freak. I would be like, you know what? Like, if you're going to send a picture to somebody, at least stick it in my ass and then take the picture and send it to that person. You know, like,
and send it
whatever
on that
he
way.
Wants. Let's role play his fantasy. Exactly. Have this mystery hookup on Grindr text you and say, hey, I want you to do this and do this. And let's role play this dude's fantasy. Let's get him off, you know? It's like an erotic version of The Sims. We just don't have diamonds over our head, baby.
Unless you got the money, because we could get those too.
Oh, make them simoleons rain.
Oh my God, yes. You got the cheat code?
Rosebud.
Speaking of rosebuds, no, please go on.
Speaking of rosebud, how about a message from our sponsor?
You know what? I think it's time.
Levence is a line of state-of-the-art sex toys that can be controlled by each partner through the internet. They offer a wide variety of toys, including internet-enabled butt plugs, vibrators, and masturbation sleeves to fit any occasion, all controlled via Bluetooth or over the web. They are constructed using soft and comfortable silicone material and are fully rechargeable. Levence Toys comes with many features, from solo play, remote play, and the most exciting feature, syncing. With syncing, you can finally pair your love session to the beat of your favorite song, to the thrusts in your favorite porn, or, for all you cam stars out there, your viewers can sync the tips of their toys for a fully interactive cam session. Make sure to check out Levence at levence.com/asktheboys, and we thank them so much for being a part of our amazing podcast. All right, we are back to our show. I hope you guys reached your climax with those wonderful Levence sex toys, and we want to thank them again for being a part of Ask the Boys podcast. The next topic that we wanted to cover tonight, Ars Technica is reporting that the first, quote, 100% uncensored adult game has been approved for the Steam store to be released. Now, for people that are out there that are not gamers like we are, and we mean gamers as in G-A-Y-M-E-R-S, Steam is basically the Netflix of video games, where you pay whatever price, you have it saved digitally in your store, and you can download it to your computer on whichever platform it supports. But this game, which was very interesting, is called, I'm going to butcher this name, I'm horrible with names, no, Negligi Love Stories.
It's Negligé Love Stories.
Oh my God, is it really Negligé?
Yeah.
Oh my God. I like Negligi better. It sounds very sexual.
Negligi sounds dirtier. I want a Negligi to slap me in my mouth.
Oh my God. Do you understand that I have never used negligé ever in my life? So this is the first time that I've discovered this word, and I'm so glad because we've recorded it in real time.
I was looking at it, and I actually have never spelled negligé. Right, so I'm like looking, and I'm like, Negligi, he's right. And then I looked at her outfit, and now I'm like, oh my God, negligé. And that's like,
well, Negligi Love Stories is going to be on sale 50% off next week, but Negligé Love Story is still going to be full price.
I love you. It's on sale. Oh my God.
But yes, this is apparently a erotic visual novel style game. I think it's, what would you call it? Like a turn-based game? Like you select the scenario?
Yeah, yes. It's gonna be a very select the scenario kind of choose your own adventure, sex play, pornographic exactly. Video game. I think it's gonna be fun. And to be quite honest, very excited about this because I think it's fun and funny, and I think it's getting to a point where it's helping us open up with ourselves and our sexualities here. Like, these games have always been available right. In other countries, like in Japan and stuff like that, and it's like everyone there is so comfortable with themselves, like they don't care about seeing a naked person, it's just a naked body. And I feel like this is really going to help us, one, transition into that, and two, a lot of Steamers have wanted this. A lot of people actually use patches and mods right. To make this happen in their games. So the fact that now it's being offered and you don't have to risk your Steam account, and two, just risk your system, I think it's great. I think it's a really good shout out saying,
absolutely.
Hey, we're listening.
I mean, right. I remember back in the day, fuck, I used to download the nude patch for The Sims. So they would be fucking nude. I used to download skins so they were anatomically correct.
Yes. Oh my God. I remember the fucking skins. Yo, it's so good.
Right. So this has been a long time coming. Literally. Long time coming.
Yeah.
And, you know, this isn't the first game. Right. This isn't the first game that they've released where it was kind of like a simulated sex thing. Ironically enough, I found the ROM on the internet, but it was for a PlayStation 1 game. I think it was in Japan, where it's called like Sex Simulator Girl or something like that. And it literally was a video loop of a girl naked. And then you would click on like finger or dildo or something like that. And it would just jump to another clip of her like using the dildo. And like you can say record scene and it does all the button combinations you did and just flips between video loops. But like that was a simulated sex game for PlayStation. Never knew it even existed until I searched for it. You know, that's we hot. Talked about just said like The Sims. There was a what was it? Hang on, it's a gay one, gay porn game. I forget it. I think it's 3D Gay Island or some shit like that. Something like that, where it's 3D avatars, just like The Sims in 3D, where you say use dildo, use butt plug, use whatever, and they can use it. So this makes sense that, you know, gamers want this shit. That's obviously why it's being developed. I'm glad that Steam released their adults only filter last week. And it does have some, for the parents that are out there listening to us, it does have some protections built into it. So if you do have children that are using Steam, there are ways where you can actually lock them out
of that.
Of these categories. And what I thought was very interesting was Steam is requiring you to describe the in-game content. So we're going to see. I can't wait to see what these descriptions say.
Oh, my God. I know. I can't wait. It's going to be like reading these new descriptions is going to be like reading an erotic love story. Like I'm going to have to, you know, have my toy next to me. And I might even have my digital assistant read it to me in a soft voice.
Now, could you imagine if these games synced with toys like Levent's toys?
Oh, shit.
That would be where it's at. Think about it. Oculus Rift and like virtual reality mixed in with these type of adult only three-dimensional games mixed in with interactive sex toys. Bitch, we are in the butt plug matrix.
Oh, honey, I just came fucking five times as you were telling me about this. Holy shit, that's brilliant.
All about it. This is where we're going. I know Jordan talked about the whole like sex doll museum or brothel or fucking Bates Motel of sex toys, whatever it was. But this is fucking Inception.
Yo, I'm here for it because I feel like I think we're going to get to that point. I think we're going to get to the point where the toys, like the Levent's toys, connect to this stuff. And why the hell not? You know, there's a lot of people out there that, you know, this is what they're into. Let them be into it. It's not hurting anyone, and it's not, well, there's a lot of this horrible, disgusting things people could be into out there. This is great.
I mean, video games serve not only educational purposes, but video games serve a fantasy purpose. You know, like me, I am a huge Doom fanatic, a first-person shooter game that I've been playing since the 90s. So I'm not going to go out there and grab a fucking gun and start shooting demons, but I enjoy the gameplay of being the hero that's saving the world from hell. But with 2018 being run by Trump, bitch, we're still in hell.
We're here.
You know, what? Right. Like Fatal Frame was another game that,
I love Fatal Frame.
A horror game scared the fuck out of me, man.
It was a good
game. What
game
do you play right now?
Scary. Right now I'm revisiting the original Silent Hill. That's still one of my favorites. Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of using that to get by as I wait for the new Resident Evil 2 remake. I'm doing that. And lately, actually, Jordan and I have been playing Diablo 3. And we're kicking ass right now. We're like at the gates of heaven, kind of smashing some shit. Aside from that, I'm waiting. I'm a nerd, true nerd, true gamer at heart. So since the day it came out to this very moment, I play Pokemon all the time. I'm waiting right now for Kingdom Hearts 3. I have a hot nut for Kingdom Hearts 3. I am so excited.
So I got a confession to make. About 2 weeks ago, maybe a week and a half ago, my friend or colleague here in Memphis was like, hey, let's walk over to Target to go grocery shopping. I said, perfect. I will tag along because I need to buy Tums, which are antacids. So we walked over and I said, you know what? Let me buy these Tums. So I grabbed Tums. I said, let's walk over to the video game section. Bitch, I bought Tums and a Nintendo Switch. So I now have a, so I'm now a proud Switch owner. Of course, I play Doom. I have Stardew Valley on there. But what I'm excited to bring home to both of you is a game called Layers of Fear. It is purely terrifying. There are no monsters. There are no lives to be lost. You can't die. But you are basically, not to spoil it too much, you're basically a starving artist that is slipping slowly into madness in this massive mansion by himself. And I don't know if you've ever seen Stephen King's Rose Red. Have you ever seen that?
Rose Red? What's Stephen King? It sounds familiar. Yeah,
where they're in like that. What about 1408?
I have
that movie of that hotel and that.
Mm-hmm.
So think of 1408. It's just like that, where he's slipping slowly insane and shit starts happening.
Oh, shit.
Like you're walking down a hallway and you hear a creaking behind you. You turn around and the hallway is missing. It's just a fucking wall behind you. And then you turn around again to what you think is a hallway. And then next thing you know, you're in a fucking box. Like, it's crazy. I have screamed multiple times in my hotel room. So I'm excited to bring that home so we can all piss ourselves collectively in terror.
I'm excited for you to bring that shit home. Oh my God, we need to make another video of us fucking screaming on the couch.
Yes, we should just live stream it.
Oh my God, yeah. Oh, I'm so, when do you come back?
I will be back on the 20th.
That's a whole week.
I know, we're getting there slowly, but I miss New York. In fact, I think the cleaning ladies think I'm crazy. Because I have a live video stream of the Brooklyn Bridge streaming on my TV in my hotel room 24/7. So when I wake up in the morning, I get to see the sun rise over the Brooklyn Bridge. When I go to sleep, I can watch a sunset over the Brooklyn Bridge. And it reminds me of home. You know, I go across the Brooklyn Bridge every day. It reminds me of home, like I'm there. So what do you say we wrap it up?
Okay. Yeah.
What episode is this, by the way? Is this 47?
Oh. Wait, I think...
Oh, well, fuck it. It's going to be 36 now.
All right. I'm here for it.
Oh, 46 or 47? Well, let's just... You know what? Fuck it. Let's just say, well, this wraps up another episode.
Yes.
Ask the boys.
All right. You want
Anthony,
to do
what are our social networkings?
Oh, our social networking. Well, I'm glad you asked. We have, of course, an Instagram, and our Instagram is at Ask the Boys Podcast. We're also on the Twitter pages, tweet, tweet, at Ask the Boys. And Justin, what's our Facebook page?
Our Facebook page is facebook.com/AskTheBoys.
Yes. We're also on YouTube now, so make sure you check us out and look for us on YouTube at Ask the Boys. Make sure you subscribe and you link on those notifications.
And we love hearing your feedback, so make sure to head over to iTunes, click on our show, rate us with a rating, and leave us a comment. That way we can know what you guys think of the show, what would you like to see, and also anything you'd like us to get rid of. Until next week, I'm Justin.
And I'm Anthony.
And Jordan's in bed, sleeping his ass off.
Good night, Munchkin.
Good night.
Oh, I love you. That was great.
Want to be on the show? Call us at 424-327-5282. That's 4243. Ask ATB.